why did you agree to do this interview with the BBC?
I don't know, I like spontaneity. And I don't know, there's a lot going on, and it seems like... I actually do have a lot of respect for the BBC. Although sometimes I forget what the BBC stands for, you know. But what is it? Just kidding.
You know what it stands for.
Yes, I do. So there's a lot going on. So I thought this might be a good opportunity to answer some questions. And, you know, I guess maybe get some feedback, too. What should we be doing different? I know the BBC, for example, is not thrilled about being labelled state-affiliated media.
Not exactly. I mean, I was going to get to that later, but let's go for it now. It's officially objected to that term. Do you want to respond to it?
So our goal is simply to have, to be as truthful and accurate as possible. So I think there's, I think we're adjusting the label to be publicly funded, which I think is perhaps... not too objectionable. We're trying to be accurate.
I'm not the BBC, but publicly funded is how the BBC describes itself.
Okay. So that would be accurate. If we use the same words that the BBC uses to describe itself,
right,
that presumably would be okay. I'm not asking you for a yes or no, since you're not running the BBC per se. It seems to pass a reasonable.
So you're going to change those labels on the BBC Twitter feed and also NPR's as well?
Yeah.
Right.
Publicly funded. Basically, that's we're trying to be as accurate as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. First of all, I just want to clear something up. Are you sleeping in the office? Here?
I sometimes sleep in the office.
Like?
In the library.
5 days a week?
No.
3 days a week?
I'm not here 5 days a week. But there's a library that nobody goes to. On the seventh floor, and there's a couch there, and I sleep there sometimes.
Okay. In terms of the general overview, the reason why I think you've agreed to do this is because you wanted to talk about the first 6 months as chief executive owner of Twitter.
It's kind of like whatever you want to talk about, you know?
Right. So how do you think it's gone?
Well, it's not been boring. It's been quite a roller coaster. I mean, things are going, I think, you know, reasonably well. I mean, we've seen some all-time highs in terms of total user time. So we passed 8 billion user minutes per day, which is a lot of user minutes. So usage is up. Growth is good. The site works mostly. You have a few glitches here and there, but the site is working fairly well. And we're doing it with a small fraction of the original, you know, headcount. So,
I mean, you mentioned outages there. There have been several.
Yeah.
And we've actually spoken to an engineer who works at Twitter, and they said that the plumbing is broken here and it's on fire and there could be problems at any minute. Do you accept that?
I mean, there have been a few outages, but not for very long, and it's currently working fine.
So it doesn't keep you up at night that Twitter might go offline again?
At this point, I think we've got a pretty good handle on what makes Twitter work. And we're also doing it with two data centers instead of three. So we used to have three data centers. We shut down one of them. So we're actually roughly two-thirds of the prior compute capability. But we've made so many improvements to the core algorithm. In some cases, we improved the core algorithm by 80%. So the actual CPU usage or computer usage is dramatically less. But the results speak for themselves. The system, despite being at all-time highs of usage, is fast. It's responsive. It's more responsive than it was before the takeover. And we've also added long-form tweets. We've added you can now post videos up to 2 hours and soon videos of any length. We're rolling out our subscriber programs so people can content creators can actually make a living on Twitter by having some of their content behind a paywall. We open source the algorithm, so there's transparency about what tweets get shown, what content gets shown versus not. I think you say, like, what are you really going to trust? Are you going to trust some sort of black box algorithm from some other site, or are you going to trust the thing that you can actually see and understand?
But do you accept that there are lots of engineers that are looking at the way that Twitter is built and the lack of engineers, because so many have left, and are worried about the health of Twitter?
Well, I mean, there have been many of these people have predicted that Twitter will cease to function. Their predictions have not turned out to be true. You know, insert Mark Twain, saying, rumors about death are greatly exaggerated.
Let's go back 6 months.
I mean, we're literally on Twitter right now.
Right.
So it must work.
Let's go back 6 months and even further back than that. When you put that initial bid in, you then had a wobble. You kind of said, I actually don't want to buy Twitter anymore.
It really is quite entertaining. I mean, it's like soap opera. Because when I first made the offer, the response was the board adopted a poison pill. So they were like, hell no, you can't buy Twitter. We'd rather die. We'd like chew on cyanide before being bought. That was their initial response.
And then you said, actually, I don't want to buy it.
Yes, so and then they said, no, you must buy us. Gun to the head, you have to buy us. I'm like, are you the same people who said you'd rather die than be bored? Doesn't that seem odd?
So, I guess my question to you is, in terms of, you said that the reason was because of bots, because Twitter was filled with bots.
Well,
looking back at it now, was there a little bit of you that thought, actually, maybe I've overpaid, actually, maybe I don't want to do this, I want to get out of this? Be honest.
Yeah, the problem was that the publicly stated user numbers were in excess of the real user numbers.
I've heard you talk about that.
Yes,
you
yes.
Talk about that.
Yes.
Basically, looking back at it now, was that the only reason that you wanted to pull out?
Yes. That was literally the issue. It's like let's say you buy a warehouse full of goods, and you're told that less than 5% of the goods in the warehouse are broken, but then you actually get the warehouse, you look into the warehouse, and it turns out actually 25% of the things are broken. You'd be like, that's not what you said.
So then you changed your mind again and decided to buy it. Did you do that?
I kind of had to.
Did you do that because you thought that a court would make you do that?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that is the reason.
Right. So you were still trying to get out of it, and then you just were advised by lawyers, look,
we're going to
buy this.
Yes.
Interesting. So you
So you didn't
actually want to purchase it, even when you said you were going.
Not at that price.
You were going to, really?
No, I mean, like let's say, like, I think the analogy is pretty close. Like, let's say, it's like there's a warehouse full of goods. They say the warehouse less than 5% of what's in the warehouse is broken. And then you look at you walk into the warehouse and say, actually, it's 25%. So you might still want to buy what's in that warehouse, but probably at a lower price. Not buying the stuff that's broken.
So you didn't have an epiphany. You just thought, I'm gonna have to buy this. I might as well buy the bullet.
Yeah.
So then you walk.
It's not super complicated.
Right. I'm not sure you've said that before.
Oh, fair enough.
So then you came into
Twitter. A whole bunch of court cases. You said this in the BBC interview, etc.
So you then came into Twitter with a sink. What were your first impressions?
Well, I thought, wow, this is a really nice office building.
Expensive.
Yes, a very expensive office building. Great decor. It's a lovely place. And I mean, and definitely is spending money like it's going out of fashion, which is it isn't quite going out of fashion yet. The gravity of the situation is perhaps not well understood. At the point at which the company, the transaction closed, Twitter was tracking to lose over $3 billion a year. And had $1 billion in the bank. So that's 4 months to death. So this is your starting position. How would you feel? Pretty intense, you know?
They also had to borrow quite a lot of money and pay interest on that, too.
Well, that's why, part of why it was a $3 billion run rate. So in rough numbers, a normal year Twitter would do, say, let's say $4.5 billion in revenue, $4.5 billion in cost. I mean, it was really kind of like a non-profit. They'd run it at roughly break even.
Now, but that's not a bank. That's not bankruptcy. You're not saving that company from bankruptcy. No, it's breaking even.
But then the issue is that if you then add $1.5 billion in debt servicing, and have a massive drop in revenue, which we did, which was partly cyclic and partly, you know, political concerns and whatever. So revenue, you know, call it dropped by over a third. It's not, and this is not just Twitter. You know, Facebook and Google have also seen some significant advertising revenue declines. It's been a little higher at Twitter, but most of the advertisers are coming back. So I think we'll be back where there's a cyclic demand drop, which is still pretty significant. But in these are rough numbers, revenue dropped from $4.5 billion to $3 billion, expenses went from $4.5 billion to $6 billion, creating a $3 billion negative cash flow situation, and Twitter having $1 billion in the bank. That's 4 months to live. So unless drastic action was taken immediately, this company's going to die and be owned by banks.
Let's talk about that drastic action, because almost immediately you sacked a lot of Twitter workers. I spoke to them. It was very easy to speak to them when it happened. And the way they said, mm-hmm. pretty much everyone said, is that it felt quite haphazard.
It was.
And it felt a little bit uncaring.
I wouldn't say uncaring. The issue is like the company's either going to go bankrupt or if we do not cut costs immediately. This is not a caring, uncaring situation. It's like if the whole ship sinks, then nobody's going to drop.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just lost their jobs like that. They'd lost their jobs often.
Let me ask you,
their accounts.
What would you do?
Well, you might want to give someone some notice. I mean, you might. It's, by the way, I'm not running Twitter, but
I know. But
this is the criticism, and this is what staff members say. A little bit of notice.
No, I understand. You have 4 months to live. 120 days. In 120 days, you're dead. So what do you want to do?
How much are you worth?
I don't know.
But we're talking about around the $200 billion mark. I mean, it's not quite, you're framing it in a way that it had a few months to live. You're quite a rich man.
I sold a lot of Tesla stock to close this deal. I did not want to sell the Tesla stock.
Okay. Do you have any regrets on the way that some of the staff were let go?
I mean, people were given, 3 months of severance, some cases more. So, like I said, the companies need to run on their own cognizance. It's not so easy for me to sell stock as people might think. I have to sell stock during certain periods. I can't sell stock during other periods. There are only brief windows where I can sell Tesla stock. And then this is often taken as some lack of faith in Tesla. And in fact, the Tesla stock sales caused the Tesla stock to plummet, which is not good.
Do you think those two were connected?
Well, the people couldn't parse the difference between I'm selling Tesla stock because I've lost faith in Tesla, which I haven't, or that it's desperately needed for Twitter.
Okay, and then after that, after you let go of a lot of staff, obviously Twitter became slimmed down a lot, and then you started making some more policy decisions. One of those policy decisions was to bring Donald Trump back. He hasn't actually tweeted yet.
Right.
Do you expect him to come back at any point? Like, have you spoken to him?
I haven't spoken to him. I don't know. He may or may not come back. But the point is that Twitter should be a town square that gives equal voice to, you know, the whole country and ideally the whole world. It should not be a partisan politics, and the more of a partisan politics that are on the very far left of the spectrum. San Francisco, Berkeley politics normally is quite niche, but if Twitter effectively acted as a megaphone for a very niche regional politics and megaphone that to the world. So if in order for something to serve as a digital town square, it must serve all people from all political persuasions, provided it's legal. Close to half the country voted for Trump. I wasn't one of them. I voted for Biden. But nonetheless, free speech is meaningless unless you allow people you don't like to say things you don't like. Otherwise, it's irrelevant. And if at the point at which you lose free speech, it doesn't come back.
I think the issue some people have is that a lot of people were brought back. I mean, some people were brought back who were previously banned for spreading things like QAnon conspiracies. You have people like Andrew Tate who were brought back, who were previously banned for things like hate speech. Do you think you prioritize freedom of speech over misinformation and hate speech?
Well, you know, who's to say that something is misinformation? Who's the arbiter of that? Is it the BBC?
You're literally asking me.
Yes.
Well, no, you are the arbiter on Twitter because you own Twitter.
Yes, I'm saying who is to say that one person's misinformation is another person's information? At the point at which you say that there is this is misinformation, like who is going to decide that?
But you accept that misinformation
that
can be dangerous, that it can cause real world harms, that it can potentially cause...
Yeah, so the point I'm trying to make is that the BBC itself has at times published things that are false. Do you agree that that has occurred?
I'm quite sure the BBC have said things before that turn out to not be true.
Right.
In its, whatever it is, 100-year history, I'm quite sure.
Yes. Even if you aspire to be accurate, there are times when you will not be.
Right, but
I think in the grand scheme of things, the BBC does aspire to be accurate.
But you accept there has to be a line in terms of hate speech. I mean, you're not looking at total 100% unrestricted speech.
I generally am of the opinion that if the people of a given country are against a certain type of speech, they should talk to their elected representatives and pass a law to prevent it. So, for example, you cannot advocate murdering someone. That's illegal in the United States, everywhere, really, I suspect. So there are limits to speech.
I guess taking your argument to a logical conclusion then, do you accept that there's more misinformation on the platform if it's not being policed in the same way?
I actually think there's less these days because we've eliminated so many of the bots which were pushing scams and spam. And previous management turned a blind eye to the bots because their bonuses were tied to user growth. And if your compensation is tied to user growth, you're not going to look too closely at some of the users. That's part of the problem. So I think we've got less misinformation because we don't have the bot problem that we used to do. And we also have given a lot of attention to community notes, which corrects, with community itself, corrects misinformation. It's been very effective.
I would only just add that, you know, we have spoken to people who have been sacked that used to be in content moderation, and we've spoken to people very recently who were involved in moderation, and they just say there's not enough people to police this stuff, particularly around hate speech in the company.
What hate speech are you talking about? I mean, you use Twitter,
right?
Do you see a rise in hate speech?
I mean,
but just a personal anecdote, like what did you, I don't.
Personally, my For You, I would see I get more of that kind of content, yeah, personally. But I'm not going to talk to the rest of, for the rest of Twitter.
So you see more hate speech personally?
I would say I would see more hateful content in that.
Content way. You don't like or hateful? What do you mean, to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content. And I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't. You can't name
a single example.
I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that For You feed anymore, because I just don't particularly like it.
But you
and
said
actually,
you
a lot of people are quite similar. I only look at my
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
How did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen that you've poured your hateful content. I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And you can't give a single one.
And I'm saying, sir,
that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet, and yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed.
You just lied.
What I claimed was, there are many organizations that say that that kind of information is on the rise. Now, whether it has on my feed or
example.
Not, I mean, I, right, and
literally
if you look at someone
one.
Like the Strategic Dialogue Institute in the UK, they will say that. So
people will say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example, and you can't name one.
Right, and as I already said, I don't use that feed. But
how would you know that I don't think
this is getting anywhere.
You literally said you experienced more hateful content, and then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said,
that's absurd.
I haven't actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example. Let's move on. We only have a certain amount of time. COVID misinformation. You changed the COVID misinformation.
Has rules. BBC changed its COVID misinformation?
The BBC does not set the rules on Twitter, so I'm asking you.
No, I'm talking about the BBC's misinformation about COVID.
I'm literally asking you about, you changed the labels, the COVID misinformation labels. There used to be a policy, and then it disappeared. Why do that?
Well, COVID is no longer an issue. Does the BBC hold itself at all responsible for misinformation regarding masking and side effects of vaccinations? And not reporting on that at all? And what about the fact that the BBC was put under pressure by the British government to change its editorial policy? Are you aware of that?
This is not an interview about the BBC.
Oh, so. You thought it wasn't?
I see now why you've done Twitter Spaces. I am not a representative of the BBC's editorial policy. I want to make that clear. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something else.
You weren't expecting that.
Let's talk about something else. Narendra Modi. The BBC did a documentary about Narendra Modi and his leadership during the riots in Gujarat. We then believe that some of that content was taken off Twitter. Was that at the behest of the Indian government?
I'm not aware of that particular situation.
So you're not sure?
I don't know about that. You know, what exactly happened with some content situation in India. The rules in India for what can appear on social media are quite strict. And we can't go beyond the laws of a country.
But do you get that if you do that, you incentivize countries around the world to simply pass more draconian laws?
No. If we have a choice of either our people go to prison or we comply with the laws, we will comply with the laws. The same goes for the BBC.
Okay. since you became CEO, there's been another story in town.
I'm not CEO anymore.
Okay, you're Chief Twit, or what are you?
No, my dog Floki is the CEO.
Okay.
He's taken over.
I saw that.
Yes.
Okay, so TikTok has also been in the news. There's talk of perhaps the Biden administration wanting to potentially ban it or force a sale. What's your view of the situation?
I don't really use TikTok. One of the reasons that I emphasize that that our goal here at Twitter is to maximize unregretted user minutes or unregretted user time is that I hear many people tell me they spent a lot of time on TikTok, but they regret the time spent. And that seems like, okay, well, we don't want to have regretted time. We want the time to be unregretted, where you learned things, you were entertained, amused. Frankly, I get more laughs out of Twitter than anything else, and many people tell me the same thing. So that's a good sign. For TikTok itself, like I said, I just don't know enough about what's going on there. I can't say I have a strong opinion on TikTok.
So you don't have an opinion on whether it should be banned or not?
You know, I'm generally against banning things. So I probably not be in favor. I mean, it would help Twitter, I suppose, if TikTok was banned, because then people would spend more time on Twitter and less time on TikTok. But even though that would be that, even if it would help Twitter, I would be generally against banning of things.
Okay. Do you feel sometimes that your many business interests might get in the way of you having opinion? I mean, for example, Tesla has major connections in China. You wouldn't have a certain opinion on something or feel uncomfortable about saying something because of your other business interests elsewhere.
Do I look uncomfortable? Actually, I do. I look uncomfortable. Tesla's got activities around the world, and so does SpaceX. Once in a while, those things do come into conflict. But it's not like Twitter's operates in China. It doesn't. It was banned in China. So, and certainly I've received no communication whatsoever from the Chinese government with regard to Twitter.
Okay. In terms of advertising, obviously Twitter's not a private company anymore, so we don't really know how it's all going. Have all the advertisers come back?
Not all, but most.
And
you can see it for yourself on Twitter, even in the For You feed.
Right.
I mean, in the, sorry, following.
In the following
actually,
feed.
Don't use For You because it sucks.
Right.
filled with hate speech, I'm told.
That's not what I said.
Okay, fine. Well, why don't you use For You? What's wrong with it?
How is it going? Is Twitter in profit now?
No, Twitter is I'd say we're roughly break-even at this point.
And I think you've said before you see a world where you could be in profit. Is there a timeline on that, do you think?
I mean, depending on how things go, if current trends continue, I think we could be profitable. To be more precise, we could be cash flow positive this quarter if things keep going well.
This quarter, as soon as that?
I possibly, yeah.
Wow. And do you have a message for the advertisers? I mean, can you say which advertisers haven't come back?
I think almost all of them have either come back or said they're going to come back. There are very few exceptions.
Can you say any of the exceptions?
I actually don't know of anyone who said definitively they're not coming back. They're all sort of trending towards coming back.
But there are some that just haven't.
Jumping in the water's warm. It's great.
That's your message to the advertisers who haven't come back.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Disney feels comfortable advertising, children's movies, and Apple feels comfortable advertising iPhones, those are good indicators that Twitter is a good place to advertise.
I want to talk about if you have any regrets, and I think you were booed at a Dave Chappelle concert. I think your own lawyer
said...
A little. Well, some say a little, some say a bit more. I think your own lawyer said you couldn't get a fair trial in San Francisco because there are lots of people that don't necessarily like you here.
Yeah, but I have to say I was wrong. He was wrong, I guess, because I was acquitted by the San Francisco jury unanimously. So, yeah.
But I guess...
But look,
do you have any regrets buying Twitter?
I think it was something that needed to be done.
It's been quite difficult, you know.
I'd say the pain level of Twitter has been extremely high. This hasn't been some sort of party. So it's been really quite a stressful situation, for the last several months. Not an easy one. But apart from the pain, so it's been quite painful. But I think at the end of the day, it should have been done. I think. Were there many mistakes made along the way? Of course, all's well that ends well, and so I feel like we're headed to a good place. We're roughly break even. I think we're trending towards being cash flow positive very soon, like literally in a matter of months. The advertisers are returning. I think the quality of recommended tweets has improved significantly, and we've taken a lot of feedback from people that have looked at the open source recommendation algorithm, and we've made a lot of improvements even since that was made open source, and we're going to keep doing that. So overall, I think the trend is very good. So
it was actually something I was going to ask you. You mentioned the pain, but you actually tweeted. I think in February you said the last 3 months have been extremely tough. I wouldn't wish that pain on anyone. Are you talking emotionally there? Can you explain?
I wasn't stabbed or anything.
Right.
Like but, some people around here, it's just dangerous neck of the woods we're in.
It is, or it can be. But can you talk me through the emotional strain of this?
Yeah, I've been under constant attack. It's not like I, have a stone cold heart or something like that. If you're under constant criticism attack, that gets fed to you nonstop, including through Twitter, it's rough, Now, at the end of the day, I kind of think that like if you do lose your feedback loop, that's actually not good. I think it is actually important to get negative feedback. I don't turn replies off, and I actually got rid of I removed my entire block list, so I don't block anyone either. So somebody can I get like a lot of negative feedback. Good to get negative feedback.
When you talk about the emotional strain, you've gone back to feedback. Is that the thing that's been most difficult to take, the sort of negative feedback?
Yeah, if the media is writing nonstop stories about why you're a horrible person, it's hurtful, obviously.
I'm interested. I've written down a lot of these questions, but I haven't written this one down. But it's interesting. It feels like you have quite a kind of interesting relationship with the media, because in some ways, you're quite skeptical, quite critical, certainly, of established media. But also, you kind of get hurt by what the media writes, and you seem to... You do get your news still from the BBC, as you've already said.
So I literally follow the BBC on Twitter.
So do you feel you have a kind of odd relationship with the media?
Yes.
Go on, explain.
No, it is somewhat of a love-hate relationship, although, it might be tilted a bit more towards the hate. I think this is a sort of part and parcel of having a free media situation, which is that, I do take... part in that the media is actually able to trash me on a regular basis in the United States, the UK, and whatnot. Whereas You know, in a lot of other places, Vita cannot say mean things to powerful people.
Okay.
But I think it's better that we have a situation where the media can say mean things to powerful people.
If we're talking about the media, let's talk about verification labels. You obviously want to create another revenue stream that's subscription-based. Is verification the way to do that? Because we have a kind of a situation at the moment where the New York Times doesn't have a verified badge, whereas anyone else who can pay whatever few bucks a month can. Can that be right? Is that what you envisaged when you bought Twitter?
I must confess to some delight in removing the verified badge from the New York Times. That was great. Anyway, they're still alive and well, so they're doing fine.
But on a serious note, it could flame disinformation again if you have verified accounts that are from anyone who can pay money. They go up to potentially the top of feeds. They get more action on Twitter, and traditional media that may not pay for verification doesn't. Do you see how that could potentially be a driver of misinformation?
Well, I mean, I think the media is a driver of misinformation much more than the media would like to admit that they are.
That's a different question.
Yeah, but you are sort of saying like who knows best, the average citizen or someone who is a journalist, and I think in a lot of cases it is the average citizen that knows more than the journalist. In fact, I mean, very often when I see an article about something that I know a lot about, and I read the article, and it's like they get a lot wrong, sort of the best interpretation is there is someone who doesn't really understand what's going on in industry, has only a few facts to play with, has to come up with an article. It's going to be, it's not going to hit the bullseye. So then, like, generally, this is how I explain this to other people. If you read an article about something you know about, how accurate is that article? Now, imagine that is how essentially all articles are. They're an approximation of what's going on, but not an exact situation. So if somebody is actually, let's say, in the fray, or like an expert in the field, and was actually there, and writes about their experience of being actually there, I think that actually that's in a lot of cases going to be better than a journalist, because the journalist wasn't there.
I think you said the legacy verified blue ticks are going to go next week.
There
have been a few deadlines on
420.
Yeah, I see the joke.
That number will never leave me.
I clearly. It cost you a lot of money.
Well, fortunately, it didn't in the trial.
Well, yeah, right. But for the SEC, right.
Yes, we're going to ask for a refund.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck. let's move on from that. But blue ticks, in theory, all legacy blue ticks gone next week, and at that point you'll kind of work out whether this is going to sink or swim.
Yes.
What's your hunch? I mean, you've obviously.
I think it's going to swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll swim just fine.
Okay. What are you looking for in terms of a revenue stream on that? What are your goals?
Well, I don't know if it's like necessarily a giant revenue stream. Because even if you have sort of a million. People that are subscribed for, let's say, $100 a year ish, that's $100 million. That's a fairly small revenue stream relative to advertising. But what we're really trying to do here with verification is to massively raise the cost of disinformation and bots in general. So my prediction is that any social media company that does not insist on paid verification will simply be overwhelmed by advanced AI bots. I mean, ChatGPT is essentially a zillion instances of ChatGPT. How
is
do you
that
even
really
know?
What you want on the platform? Do you want big news organizations being overwhelmed by bots so that they have to pay
some
money?
No, the point is that you won't be.
If you pay. But a lot of organizations have already said they're not going to pay, like the New York Times.
Well, then, that's up to them if they, kind of make them pay. It's a small amount of money, so I don't know what their problem is. We're going to treat everyone equally. So what we're not going to do is say that there's some anointed class of journalists who are the special ones who get to tell everyone what they should think, that it should be up to the people what they think. And even if an article is completely accurate and comprehensive and everything, there's still, in writing that article, the media is choosing the narrative. They're deciding what to write an article about. So I'm hopeful that that this can be more a case of the public choosing the narrative as opposed to the media choosing the narrative. But the media can choose the narrative, at least a combination of the media and the public choosing the narrative. And the public getting to weigh in on stories if they think that they should add something to it or we've got something wrong. And over time, I think if Twitter is the best source of truth, it will succeed. And if we are not the best source of truth, we will fail.
Someone comes in and offers you $44 billion for Twitter right now. Would you take it?
No.
Would you consider it?
No.
Why?
I take it back. It depends on who. I suppose if I was confident that they would pursue, that they would rigorously pursue the truth, then I guess I would be glad to hand it off to someone else. I don't care about the money really, but I do want to have some source of truth that I can count on. And I hope that's our aspiration with Twitter, is to have a source of truth that you can count on. It's also real time. It's an immediate source of truth that you can count on, and that gets more accurate with time as people comment on particular things.
Well, if you don't care about the money, you could just give it to someone that you think is a good person to run Twitter.
Who do you think that might be?
I'm not the boss of Twitter.
No, but you might still have an idea.
Who could run Twitter?
Yes.
Honestly, I have no idea who could run Twitter.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
Okay, let's move on to, you said that you were going to stand down
as I already have.
Chief executive, right? Okay.
I'm not the CEO of Twitter. My dog is the CEO of Twitter.
Okay. Have you got any...
It's a great dog.
Other than the dog.
He's very alert and it's hard to get anything by him.
Okay, that's good to know. Other than the dog, have you got any successes in mind?
He's got a black turtleneck. I mean, what more do you need?
Okay. All right. We're going down that route. Steve Jobs or Elizabeth Holmes are you making reference to?
I guess more Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay. I've forgotten the question now.
He's got a husky voice and a black turtleneck. Problem solved.
What were we talking about there? Who would you want? Have you got a successor in mind?
Not yet. Hopefully at some point.
Right. So, because you did say you were going to stand down.
Well, I did stand down.
Okay. All right, let's move on from that then. All right. What about this office? I'm intrigued about this office. You said it was expensive.
You don't really need a CEO.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why can't we be an anarcho-syndicalist commune?
I think Jack Dorsey kind of recommended doing
true,
that and
true.
Kind of ignored it.
Yeah, it was kind of that, actually.
Hmm. This office, are you thinking about moving out of San Francisco?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, I mean, this place is nice, and I kind of like this office building, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not, because I know you've talked about there's been high levels of crime here. You actually said at one point.
Yeah, I think we should do something about the crime.
Right.
People are dying.
Right.
We should take action.
You've also talked about how potentially, I think you might have been joking, but you could turn this into a homeless shelter. So
yes.
I guess the reason I'm asking is,
if we tried to turn it into a homeless shelter, the building owner rejected it.
You tried to,
they won't let us.
Which bits have you tried to turn into a homeless shelter?
Well, we're only using one of the buildings, and so the other building could be a homeless shelter.
And you've tried to...
Yeah, we would like to do it right now.
Really?
Yes.
And
no,
you're being stopped by who?
By the building owner.
They won't let you?
No. In fact, they wouldn't even let us take the W off the sign.
So how were you going to do that?
They're really quite
What was your plan for the shelter?
I don't know. We could just let people stay there. It's nice.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that.
They can bring their stuff, bring the tent, whatever.
Right. And it's a roof over their head.
Yeah. If the building owner lets us, we'll do it.
Yeah? So if the building owner lets you, you would happily do that?
Yes.
Okay, all right. There we go. What's the most difficult thing you've had to do? What's the hardest thing you've had to do?
In my whole life?
In the last 6 months. We're talking about the last 6 months as Twitter boss here. Twitter owner.
Shutting down one of our service centers was quite difficult, because it turns out there were... I thought the service centers were redundant, but there were, in fact, a lot of things that were hard-coded to this one service center. And so when we shut it down, we actually... it was quite catastrophic. We lost a lot of functionality, which sort of really rushed to put it back.
When was that?
And that was around late December, early January.
So that was the biggest sort of... I'm worried here.
Biggest crisis, yeah.
Yeah. And what about hard in terms of emotional? I mean, just letting go. I mean, what were the current the levels of staff, and what are they now?
I think we're around 1,500 people at this point, and there was, I think, 7,800.
What was that?
I think it was around just under 8,000, and 8, we're about 1,500 right now.
Okay, and has it been hard letting that many people go?
Yeah. Not fun at all. It's painful.
I mean, I guess in what way do you feel like you need to speak to people when they leave? Or
I mean, it's not physically possible to speak to that many people.
Has that? I mean, you talked about that being the most technical bit. Has that been sort of the hardest thing emotionally, or is it?
It's one of the hardest things, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. The Nancy Pelosi tweet.
Jesus.
But there have been, that is an example of a few, and there have been others. Do you feel like you're an impulsive person?
I mean, have I shot myself in the foot with tweets multiple times? Yes.
Do you feel like...
I need bulletproof shoes at this point.
You've definitely done that. The issue is that you're now a Twitter owner. Do you feel like you should be... look at your tweets more? You have a higher responsibility when you tweet something out for it to be accurate?
I think I should not tweet after 3 a.m.
That's the rule.
Yeah, well, maybe 2 a.m.
That's the new rule.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so there's a blanket ban.
I shouldn't.
What are your Twitter rules? I mean, I've heard some people say never tweet when you've been drinking, or never tweet when angry. What are your Twitter rules?
Well, I think those are two good rules. Yeah, don't tweet if you're wasted, or you know, really upset about something. I mean, a good friend of mine actually had a good suggestion, and it has helped, which is that if you're going to tweet something that maybe is controversial, save it as a draft and look at it the next day and see if you still want to tweet it. And that has been a good rule of thumb.
Okay.
So I've got a bunch of things in my draft folder that I'm glad I didn't send.
I can't remember whether I've asked you this. This is my sort of wrapping up at this point. But yeah, do you have any regrets?
One thing was, like, hindsight's 20/20, so that, you know, a bunch of decisions that could have been made better for sure. But as I said, all's well that ends well, and things are going pretty well. So. In the grand scheme of things, I can't complain.
Okay. I'm going to just check my list of things to make sure I've actually asked.
I mean, is maybe this something that people on the Twitter want to say? Ask, you know, we could ask them.
That's on you.
To this 680,000 people listening.
There you go.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Let's see. How do we see? Okay. Let me see who. I'll just look at my tweet and see what people are saying, or what questions they have. Do you like the BBC? Do you like BBC?
Okay, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Oh, I can't interview you?
Obviously I work for the BBC.
So but if you like, do you like BBC?
I know. I see what you're doing. I'm not going to respond to that. Okay. I think we can finish the interview there. If you want to continue, thank you very much.
Well, come on.
I really appreciate it.
Sure you like BBC. Come on.
I'm not engaging. All right. Elon, it honestly has been a pleasure talking to you. Well, it really has. And if you want to carry on answering questions on this, then go for it. But I'm not going to.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to see if there's like any good. There's a lot of comments here.
I can imagine.
There's so many. It's nice to be interviewed by the BBC. I have a lot of respect for the British Broadcasting Corporation.
When did you say when the actual label's going to go public?
Oh, is it? Do we still say state media or whatever? It says government-funded media currently, as opposed to publicly funded media. I guess probably we can make that change tomorrow if you'd like.
It's up to you. I'm a journalist. It's up to you. But I mean, we'll expect that tomorrow.
I mean, do you have any requests on a personal level, or you can't speak on a personal level?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we've established that. Go on, what questions are people asking you? Go on.
I mean, there's like a lot of comments. Let's see. I was literally reading on, looking at replies to the fact that the spaces.
Are there any good questions that I've missed out in the last 6 months? I'm sure there are many.
I mean, people generally seem to like this interview, as far as I can tell. Very few negative comments are generally positive.
That's probably bad for me.
I'm scrolling as fast as I can to sort of see. I guess there's some complaints about Twitter Spaces being needing some improvement. Let's fix Twitter Spaces is one of the comments. People like the fact that my dog Floki is the CEO. I'm really just scrolling as fast as I can here.
I guess my reflection on this
interview. I'd just like to say I like BBC. I do find it funny.
Listening to the interview, the answer about misinformation and saying, "Oh, we don't police misinformation in the same way," but
we do because
we try and get bots, because we try and take down bots, we'll be effective at bots. There's actually less misinformation on the platform.
I think that's a big factor.
I'd like to ask you one more question on that, because a lot of people I think will be listening to this and thinking, really, you're arguing you can police content moderation far less and end up with less misinformation.
We do have people working on content moderation. It's not like we don't.
I've spoken to lots of people who've been fired. So lots of people have been let go. I mean, you've gone from 8
to 15. The censorship bureau was let go. I don't think the sort of putting a thumb on the political scales on the far left has been let go, because that's not right. That's not what you want for a public square. You've got to have equal treatment for people from across the political spectrum. So, some of them are going to be upset about that. But my experience is that there's less misinformation these days, not more, and that the community notes feature is extremely powerful for addressing so-called misinformation.
I mean, you've had community notes placed on your own tweets.
Yes.
One of them involving an alleged diamond mine?
Diamond mine?
A mine that your father part-owned?
Yeah, my father never owned a diamond. So you're thinking of an emerald mine.
Emerald mine.
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of this alleged emerald mine.
Because you've been community noted on that tweet.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, but he never owned a emerald mine. This is total bullshit.
Not even a 50% stake.
No.
Because in community notes.
But first of all, okay. Do you think something like an emerald mine would have like some sort of property register? There'd be like a picture of it. It's not like you can say, "Oh, that's my mine." You know, these things are hotly debated. If you've got something valuable, you have to have some property record, like a house,
but much more important than a house. And yet there is no property record whatsoever. There is no picture of this mine whatsoever. It doesn't exist. It's fake.
So it's a really good example then, because there is a community note on that tweet that says, you said this thing on the X day, blah, blah, blah. So in that instance, the community notes didn't work. So you're saying that that's a way of solving misinformation, but you're literally saying one of those community notes is wrong.
The community note may be referring to a thing where I went on a trip with my father to Zambia, but I never saw any mine or anything. So there's no mine.
I'm not, right, but at this point I'm just saying the community notes says it is. So you're saying it's this bit great panacea, but yeah, it's literally on your own tweet, the community notes, according to you, are wrong.
If they're referencing an article, then the article may not be wrong, but they're still they're representing, anyway. Community notes is not going to be perfect, but it's the batting average of community notes I found to be extremely high.
Right.
So
community notes plus getting rid of millions and millions of bots every day, I guess. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what you think is tackling misinformation over content moderation. And I think that's the bit that a lot of people will go, really?
Really, yes, really. Look, the acid test is people use the system and find it to be a good source of truth, or they don't. And no system is going to be perfect in its pursuit of the truth. But I think we can be the best, the least inaccurate. That's our goal, the least inaccurate. And I think we might be there already. If we're not there, we'll be there soon.
Do you have? I've spoken to people who think this. Do you have a kind of message for people who think that Twitter has been ruined?
Well, we have all-time high usage, so I don't think it has been.
Some people think it has been. I'll tell you that.
Yes, well, they're probably the same people who predicted that Twitter would cease to exist, and their predictions have turned out to be false.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to ask you whether you think it's been ruined, because obviously you're not going to
No, I think it's great.
Yes.
It's way better. better by a lot.